Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds, episode 265.
Yeah, it's a couple days late, but more than worth it.
So worth it. It's a little late because I was on the road.
Yes.
this is my first time doing a tour with Doug in quite a while, probably 6 months or so.
And another guest that we were going to pre-record refused to come in.
Oh, Jesus.
So we had to reschedule him. Not even an excuse. It's just, like, I'd rather do it next
I'd rather
month.
Do it, well, yeah, other stuff. And then he's like, but if you need me, I was like,
oh, boy. So passive-aggressive canceling.
Oh, God. It's so, I'm going to do, I think at this year's PodFest, I was thinking about this last night, because I flew home yesterday afternoon. I wanted to go up at the comedy show at PodFest and just go on a fucking rant about comics that canceled day of and just go fucking ape shit. I want to just like go.
Do we have enough time though?
Oh,
that's at least
yes,
40 minutes.
Yes, we do.
We do.
Yeah, we guess what? We do now.
Fair enough.
Everybody's like, I want to be in
you
the.
You just bring up a binder.
Oh.
And here's the headshot.
Oh, here's God. 250 shows on iTunes, only 35 slots for PodFest.
Yeah.
And no, you're not doing Saturday at 8 o'clock in the big ballroom, because we're not.
Yeah.
And we run the goddamn thing.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's nice. What a happy show I walked into. Glad I came in to sub.
This was cool. I do want to thank everybody that came out. I did a bunch of shows. We did two shows at Cobb's in San Francisco on 419.
Fantastic.
I was a guest on Doug Loves Movies. I haven't been on that show probably in 6 months, which was fun. Then we did three shows in Denver on 420. All of downtown Denver smells like weed on
nice.
420. Like
nice.
Now that it's
I would've not.
The state of Colorado has legalized it, so it's like
yeah,
it's
and making $65 million in tax revenue.
Right.
Yeah, so they're encouraging it.
Why do you think like this last election that had what 37% voter turnout and the GOP was like, "We're it's just everyone wants us." No, nobody voted, but yet they voted what few old white people that did show up to vote for them.
Right.
But then in other states medical marijuana passed in several other states, and it's like it's a matter of time.
Yeah,
because now they're finally seeing the thing that we've all been saying, which is it's going to bring you a lot of revenue.
Yeah, once the economics shows its face, like
the downtown hotels in Denver, a lot of them were sold out because people were flying in
just for a contact high.
Just for exactly.
And my favorite is you know what? This is a gateway drug. No, your pusher, your dealer in the alley was very good at upselling. That was the thing. The guy in the store couldn't give a crap if you're buying like whatever. And he has no other invested interest to sell you anything harder.
Right.
So it's just like, yeah, man. So the guy in the alley, for sure, that guy is like, hey, you like this stuff? Mm. You should try some of this. That's what I got here. Like doing that to my grandma. Screw that.
Ladies you like gentlemen? A pot cookie? How about a methamphetamine?
How about a meth brownie?
Exactly.
How about
a delicious heroin? What? Grandma, don't. No.
A heroin popsicle.
Yeah, exactly. So wrong, Grandma. Oh. Don't do that.
Who doesn't like Oxycontin chocolate?
Exactly. We call it Oxychocolates.
Oxychocolates. Boom. Ding. Folks, that is the sweet, lovely, dulcet tones of one Dean Haglund.
The nasal, hairy nose. Dean Haglund. Thank
we are
you.
Happy to have Dean back. As you guys know, Dean has been with us from the beginning, he's got a lot of announcements to drop on us.
Right. Real quick, I got to finish thinking, but everyone came to the 420 show in Denver, and then we did our annual 421 show in Eugene, Oregon. And so there was Film Nerd fans at all of these shows, and I recorded a couple of rental car episodes with Doug, which I haven't done in a year. So it was a lot of fun, and I want to thank all the Kitten Hands who came out.
Kitten Hands Army showed up.
Kitten Hands Army showed up.
Awesome.
So
well, I want to thank actually Jim Bruce. I actually went and did his podcast over the weekend. Who's This Now?
Yeah, a guy has a podcast?
Yeah. And you know what? It was really fun because it's a different format. It's like a pretend show that's on a pretend network. And when you get there, you play yourself, but then you're interviewed as an improv character that you don't know who it is until you get there, and he gives it to you right before you start recording. So I play I play a documentarian filmmaker who is full of himself.
Wait, I thought you said it was improvised.
Did you just do my accent?
Yeah.
My Chicago dialect.
So it was really, like, he gave me, like, the list of films and all this stuff. It was really fun. So if you check out, it's on iTunes, Jim Bruce's podcast, Who's This Now?
Yeah. We just, we had really him on the show a couple months ago.
Yeah.
He's a very fun guy. I've known him for years. Did sketch comedy with him. Mm-hmm. If you go to my YouTube channel and watch Hello Junkie, which is the Detective Kent Stryker short mm-hmm. film, he plays the junkie whose ass I kicked.
I remember that. Jim Bruce.
So, that was an acting. I just
like, you just kicked his ass. It's all this rage you have against everybody canceling. So
you canceled on me, you motherfucker.
You, Jim Bruce.
And he's like, I'm the guy who filled in for someone who canceled.
Shut up, hippie.
Yeah. that was cool. That is a fun show. I've done it. It's a fun show. All right. So what do we want to get into?
We got a lot of movies to talk about. We Could Be King, The Babadook, The Tale of Princess Kaguya, The Homesman. And a lot of interesting things coming out, sort of. Yeah, and also we're going to talk about Dean's movie, The Lady Killers, and he has a couple announcements he's going to make. So let's get started. We Could Be King at Tribeca. Go.
So,
time. Gee, look at this time. Clock. Tick tock, motherfucker.
Come on, it's a podcast. There's only a limited amount of time.
Exactly.
When did the format of this show change?
Okay, we gotta go to commercial. Thanks so much.
What happened? I go on a couple pot shows, and all of a sudden, Mancini's gone apeshit.
Well, Dean and I had a meeting.
Without you.
Like,
really, we gotta keep the tight time for this.
Horrible.
That's right.
There's a movie called We Could Be King, which is an amazing documentary.
And it also sounds grammatically incorrect, frankly. just saying we can be a king.
We could be king.
We could.
It's a play on words, Dean.
Oh, thank you.
It's explained in the film.
Oh, it is.
Typically, a lot of times, the title's relatable to what happens in the film.
I thought it was just poor grammar.
Except for the movie Monsters.
yeah. Or Paul Blart.
Yeah.
So... We Could Be King is it's a documentary. First of all, there's this cool thing that's happening. The Tribeca Film Festival, which many of you probably already know about, has started like a digital arm, basically, where films that they get for their festival, they then are now selling them and putting them out there. So this movie is available on Amazon.
It's really smart. You actually have a film festival, and that's where you acquire your films under the same exact label.
And then you're the sales, distribution arm.
That's just talked about this with Kevin Pollak last week. Mm-hmm. That's how his movie got distribution.
Yeah. And the thing that's good is you know, it's a film festival that has a good reputation over the years, and so it comes with that. So I was flying on United, and they have a Tribeca channel that shows a couple short films, and then they showed this. And actually, Doug Reck, he goes, man, you should watch this. So basically it's these two high schools in the Philadelphia area, Chris, Germantown and Martin Luther King High School.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been rivals for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then a budget cut, the city of Philadelphia has to lay off 4,000 employees, close two dozen schools, so these two schools have to
merge.
This is a doc, right?
This is a documentary, right. And it's an amazing documentary.
So they hate each other. They're rivals. They've been 40 years rivals, and now they have to like share the same trophy case and everything.
Basically, and I want to say you this: the director is Judd Ehrlich, Ehrlich. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. He did Magic Camp. He did Run for Your Life. He did Mayor of West Side. So he's done a bunch of docs. He also did the TV series Hell Week. The best way to describe this movie is if I loved Friday Night Lights, the TV show.
Okay.
This is the documentary of that. Honestly, because
about football teams?
It is, because if you watch, especially the last couple seasons of Friday Night Lights, the same thing happened. Budget cuts, schools had to merge, like and there was kids like just trying to get out. They had no chance.
Oh my God. So wait, did Philadelphia watch Friday Night Lights go, hey, we could merge our schools?
Yeah, that's what they did. Yeah.
What did we think of this earlier, fellas?
The Philly school board watched the TV show and went, hey.
That's a great idea.
This is my great drama.
It worked on the show.
Why not?
So you've got it said two things. First of all, the acting on Friday Night Lights was so great that you're like, wow, the drama – I mean, I thought I was watching an episode of Friday Night Lights, and I almost said to myself, wow, these kids are really great actors. And I went, no, wait, this is real.
And they're doing that for real.
This is for real. And so that you've got, and they profile a couple of kids, and you know, there's one big kid and he's got a shot at getting out. There's a couple of kids on the school that got a shot, but they're like grades. One kid gets arrested, it's like wrong place, wrong time. But he's got an ankle bracelet now. He's on parole. He misses games. You know, the coach is like this amazing young guy. He's 27. He grew up there. He tells a story of a friend of his that he played football with got killed over some dumb argument, you know, some whatever street fight, gang right. argument, whatever, dead. So he's like, there's no money for this coach. There's no football program. The coach says, I'm not giving up on these kids. I'm going to coach for free.
Holy.
So he's just like, and he's this young guy. He's got so much passion. He understands that this is the only shot for some of these kids.
Yeah, right.
And I remember when I played high school football being 15, 16, 17 years old and how, like, they start their season 0-2.
Oh, gee.
And I just remember losing games, and it was crushing. Now imagine putting – I was crushed as a 16-year-old, but knew I was going to college, and my parents would pay for my college. What right. if that was it?
What if that was your ticket too?
So if I don't have a good game, or we lose, or we don't make the playoffs
– good Lord, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. My senior year, we were 4-5, and we lost a game 3-0. We lost a game 7-0. We lost a game 17-14. Now imagine
– That's your college education.
That's my college. That's those games, those
– That's your GPA.
That's exactly.
That's really what
it is. For real, that was – so that is 13 points.
Yeesh.
We lost by those three games by one – the fourth – one of the game we got blown out. But those three games
– 13 points.
13 points – would have made the difference. We would have been 7-2 versus 4-5. And we would have gone to the playoffs and
got scholarships. And then,
you know,
like all that.
Imagine that. Imagine that. And this is what is on the line for these kids. And, you know, not great infrastructure at home. And the school, like, I mean, you know, and you see the school. Metal detectors, security guards, full pat downs.
Right.
I mean, this is what they're having to go through on a daily basis.
Just to
get into school, and it is such an amazing movie. And
so I don't. We could be king.
So it's like. So what they? One of the reason why that's the title is it's like, guys, we all got to come together.
Oh, I see.
So we could be King High School because that's the name they go with. So we
gotcha.
So okay, we could.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? So
right.
It's an amazing thing. It's on Amazon right now.
Okay.
Or if you get access to the Tribeca channel, I don't know if it's in.
Or you can fly United.
Get
on a plane and see this movie.
I don't have to go anywhere, but I need to see that movie.
Buy a plane ticket. Might be a cheaper way to watch this movie.
Well, it just seems like a good idea.
But maybe, look, you need to keep your
Air miles up.
Your status. Yeah, yeah. Like, I need to keep my status. I need to hit some flights to keep my Premier status.
Premier doesn't stay, you know. They don't get that for free.
No. That's true. You got to earn that shit.
You got to. It's got to put the hard miles in, too.
You got to clock those hours.
Exactly.
But this is such a great documentary, and it is so worthwhile. Watching.
Fantastic.
And mm-hmm. what happens at the end, how the story progresses, it's, I don't want to spoil it. It's a great
film. Very cool.
It's awesome.
Right.
Oops, right. I just knocked my...
What are you doing?
I knocked a can of drink over.
Well, it was empty, right?
Well, more or less.
Yeah.
it is now.
It is now.
All right.
Here, I'll put on that table.
Your
Fair enough.
It's not okay. empty. Yeah.
Exactly. Indoor, outdoor carpeting. Fantastic.
Well, I saw The Babadook.
Yay.
This is the horror movie. And this is another one of those movies that our fans had just been emailing and Twittering. And you have to see this movie.
Right.
So, one of us had to see it eventually. And I know you're not a horror fan. So I saw it.
I watched the football documentary.
Exactly.
You go watch the slash him up.
Now, I think you would actually like this movie. Now, I will say, if you look at the trailer, it looks absolutely terrifying. And but it's actually not a terrifying movie. And I don't say that as an insult. I say that as more, again, that's just how they branded it in the trailer. It's more of a psychological thriller with some horror elements in it. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, the first two-thirds of this movie are absolutely amazing. And the setup and the psychology and the setup of the horror and all these great things. It's a good movie. It definitely is. It's definitely worth your watch, worth your time. And one of the things I'm noticing, too, is all the innovation, all the interesting things in horror are coming from indie filmmakers.
Right.
It's studio horror is, you know, Poltergeist remakes and stuff. Right. And that's, but that's
It's that same trailer. That,
I know. Yeah, almost like unbelievable.
You get Ouija, and you get literally, you're getting the same studio horror movie over and over again, but they make money. So the studio's like, well, why should we do anything else?
Right.
So
we
it's a
given.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's up to the indie filmmakers to actually be innovating, and even like festivals like Shriekfest, or where you'll actually see the more innovative horror. And that's what I loved about this movie. It's innovative. It's interesting. It shows, like, you know, the monster coming into a house in a different way.
Right.
And it's all rooted in basically psychological trauma and damage of, you know, it's a mother and a son, and the father died violently in a car crash. So it's them coming to terms with it, and as that manifests as...
Horror.
It's great you say that, because I'm just looking at the IMDb. Jennifer Kent wrote and directed it, and not a long list of movies she's directed. She's been an actress for a long time. She was in Babe, Pig in the City, The Wall. I mean, she's done a lot of TV and stuff like that. So it's really cool to hear, you know, that...
You're going to get an indie thing and get distribution and all that sort of thing. Yeah,
and it's going to be this really creative movie that you're saying. And where did she come from? She came from acting and sort of TV background, and then just decided, I want to start directing, and probably just had a love of this genre.
No question.
A great idea for a script.
You actually can see that throughout the film. Like, here's somebody who not only knows the genre, but has a love for it.
Right.
And the other thing that's great about watching this film is you see horror written and directed from a female perspective, which you don't always see. And it also gives you a different voice and a different vision, which we need more of. Yeah. We really do, because there's plenty of horrific things that go on in the minds of women as well that they can write about.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've dated them.
I mean, it's a perspective that's desperately needed to fill out the genre, because the studios, they're not doing it. It's really up to the indie filmmakers to... the other place that it is that's up to the indie filmmakers is low budget, highbrow science fiction. You know, we're only going to get Interstellars every once in a very great while.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're going to get more big, broad, giant science fiction
comic book.
Yeah, comic book science fiction.
Blasty,
but you're not. Yeah, you're going to get blasty. You're not going to get these. You know,
which when the studio does those right, they're a blast.
Give me the big blasty.
Yeah, but that's all they're going to make. I mean, you know, Ex Machina is not going to be made by a big studio,
right?
So that's the other place that indie.
And I'm glad you pronounced Ex Machina, and who's saying Ex Machina? Have you heard people pronouncing it?
Because people don't know the phrase Deus Ex Machina.
I know. And same with that game company, Ex Machina.
Yeah.
The game company themselves pronounce it Ex Machina. Like it was.
Wow.
I know. I went to a party with like Ex Machina. And like, it's Ex Machina, you idiots. Don't you read your Greek tragedies? Anybody? No, we're Ex Machina. And then the movie comes out and they're saying Ex Machina.
Yeah.
But still, some people, I guess, from the video game world go, hey, this movie, Ex Machina. Just like,
I thought it was Ex Machina, but then I heard that and got confused. And I think I said it either on this podcast or another one. I said Ex Machina, because I'm like, now I'm doubting myself.
Yeah. No. It's Ex Machina.
Gamers are making me dumb.
That's exactly the point.
That could be a global statement. here's the thing, though. If I could say that this movie isn't perfect, it does have a few flaws in it, especially when the third act unravels a little bit, because one of the problems is it suffers from lost disease, where you have so many things set up and then you can't, there's no way to pay them all off at the end. What happens is it kind of like, well, what about all that stuff that we were seeing? Well, this, now we're kind of going in a different direction, which is fine, but there's a lot of stuff. I'll give you an example of, like, you know, when the Babadook first shows up, it's a storybook, and then the storybook is like this creepy kid's story about how the Babadook comes into your house, and then more pages populate, and then she tries to get rid of the book, can't get rid of the book, but there's only like two scenes with the book, and then it like disappears. Like, you don't hear anything more about the book after that. I'm like, wait a minute, they couldn't get rid of it, and this is some kind of weird magic book that summons the Babadook. How can you just, you know, just let that wither and go away? But so what happens is the third act gets muddy.
Okay.
But really, it's not enough to derail the film completely at all. And it's not enough to make you hate the film at all. So it's like one of those things where I really like the film. It just gets a little – it would have been nice to see it a little neater towards the end. Because
third acts are tough. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah, and especially like I really felt like I've set all these things up, like as far as like a writing thing went. Like, I've set all these things up. I'm not sure how I'm going to pay everything off. I'm going to have to abandon certain things. Like, it might have been cleaner if you maybe – take out some of these conventions that you set up and like made it streamlined a little bit. But you know, again, this is her first big horror movie,
right?
And you know, to,
good
this
for
is,
her.
Yeah, this is it. It's great, and I am really looking forward to her next one.
Wow. Baby.
So I would say yes, The Babadook, definitely worth your time. It's a really good movie. It just gets a little muddy towards the end.
Right.
And
hooray.
Now, the next movie, actually, we'll go in a different order. I want to hear what you have to say about The Homesman, a movie I had never heard of until you had mentioned it.
And this came out in 2014. Have you heard of this, Graham?
The Hilary Swank?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you seen it? I saw it. I did not seen it, but I saw when it came out. I was like, oh, and this got a real quick thing, and I thought it was going to try to make a move for Oscar and just didn't.
No, because it's so shockingly what the F on this.
Tommy Lee Jones wrote and directed it.
Well, yeah, based on a novel. He clearly read this novel and went, oh, I could totally play this character, it looks like he stayed faithful to the movie and called in all his friends. So there's like a one scene cameo with Meryl Streep.
Really?
James Spader comes in doing the exact same character from Lincoln. Looks like the exact same wardrobe. Like he basically walked over from Spielberg's Lincoln and then just did the same character.
He was walking by lunch.
Hey, Tommy Lee Jones. Hey, could you do this?
He saw him in the commissary.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, if you got 10 minutes, could you just do a couple scenes on my movie? It was like, oh my God. So here's your plot. Now, pretend I'm your studio execs. I'm Tommy Lee Jones and I'm pitching this movie to you. Okay. Okay. So there's this really ugly woman, and she's very successful on a farm in a small town out in the middle of, let's say, Wyoming or something, okay? So far, so good. Mm-hmm. So she volunteers to take the other three women that have gone mentally crazy. They're mental ill because they can't handle the pioneer life, and they have to ship them by wagon through Indian Territory back across the Mississippi River to a church that'll take care of them. Huh? You with me so far, right?
Yeah.
So I play Tommy Lee
Jones.
Stop
talking, here's a check.
I play a ne'er-do-well drunk who's in trouble with the guys, and because Hilary Swank can't find a husband, there's all these scenes. You're as plain as a tin cup. I will never marry you. And like all these guys walking away from her. So she sees Tommy Lee Jones about to be hung. He's sitting on his horse in his underwear with a noose around his neck, waiting for the horse to just walk away.
In his underwear?
Well, they beat him senseless. I don't know why.
And stole his pants.
As he does. That's sexy.
The old West for you.
You need clothes back then, Chris. They weren't cheap. You couldn't just go to Ross.
Okay, I think the executives are... You're missing the point of the story.
Wait, I want to hear more about the pants. Were they magic pants? Is that...
Can the pants be a jumpsuit? Okay. Yeah, exactly. No, so then Hilary Swank basically hires Tommy Lee Jones to take the mentally ill women across the Mississippi. And on the way, she says, why don't we get married? We make a great team, even though you're drunk and a loser. And he says, no. And here's your spoiler alert, because nobody's going to watch this. Hilary Swank, about 45 minutes, hangs herself.
Wow.
So she is swinging from a tree.
Because he wouldn't marry her?
Yeah. So she thinks it's all over. So Tommy Lee Jones then finishes his task of dropping these women off and then proceeds to burn down a hotel and go crazy. And then he makes a tombstone for her but gets shit-faced and loses it in the Mississippi River. End of movie. Roll credits. What do you think, fellas?
Oh, what the fuck?
I'm not kidding.
Why didn't she just get him pants?
They would have been married.
Would have sealed the deal.
Oh, I know. No, he did have pants later on. That's the thing. Like, there is not a redeeming anything about this movie. And I'm sure in the novel, it probably read as like, how deeply, but then you're seeing this thing, you're like, What? This is and watching.
How did they ugly up Hilary Swank?
Well, they didn't really. It was just everybody going. You know, if you just sit there long enough,
they all just say she's ugly.
Yeah.
Because who was she competing against in the 1800s? You know what I mean? Like
exactly. Yo, you're out in the field. You're as ugly as and you're like what? How you cannot put your head around this movie? And it's like
clearly no one could, which is why I was in the theaters for half a second.
I think everybody like stayed to the 45-minute mark. And went what? She's dangling from a tree. I can't invest any more time in this thing.
Now, here's how it was really pitched by Tommy Lee Jones.
Right.
All right. It's The Fugitive meets 310 to Yuma.
That's how it was pitched.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Love
done.
It.
Yeah.
Look at that. Is anybody swinging from a tree?
Halfway through.
Yeah. But we're not going to say who, other than the lead of the movie.
Fugitive meets 310 to Yuma.
All right. Come back with a print.
Exactly. It's a check. good to have a good time in Wyoming.
Yeah,
exactly. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. So right. This I cannot knock around. And don't see it on a plane. On top of all that, talk about bumming yourself out. You got another 6 hours of flying to go. Or you're like, oh Lord. Oh,
watch, we could be king again.
Yeah. Something uplifting.
Oh
yeah,
my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, I know. So there you go.
That is such a barometer. I've said it a million times on this show. If you can't watch a movie on a flight,
yeah,
it is fucking horrible.
But I kept watching it thinking, okay, it's got to redeem itself because there's no way it can just drill itself into like this darker and darker hole. And it does. And it's like, that is amazing. You just buried this plane below the desert floor. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I know. Talk about bringing down the podcast. Yeah. Right? Look at that.
Way to go.
I could spoil that movie and screw it all up.
Well, I'll bring it back up with the next film. Right. The Tale of Princess Kaguya. This is an amazing animated movie, and this is one of the ones that was nominated for an Academy Award last
Notice, year. None of us had... Was there anything to watch in a theater?
No, there was not.
I also wanted to watch in our...
Which is telling you what's out right now.
Yes.
Right.
And that is a pattern that will be repeated this weekend. But I will say the Tale of Princess Kaguya was amazing. It's an animated film from Studio Ghibli. Now Miyazaki did not direct it. It was one of the other directors there.
Isao Takahata.
Hey, yes. Very good.
And
konnichiwa.
And it's based on an old Japanese legend about a princess that shows up to a farmer inside a shoot of bamboo, and then she grows, and the bamboo keeps giving gifts like money and all these like rich silks. So the farmer and his wife see, oh well, we have to treat her like a princess, so they take her to the capital and make her into a princess. And that's not necessarily what she wants, but
right, because she's bamboo.
Yeah, because she came from bamboo. But
why do you think I'm bamboo?
But this is the kind of movie too that I can always tell when it's a great movie as far as like a family film goes, is that when I'm watching it, my wife's watching it, and both kids, 6 and 10, and we're all absolutely transfixed by it. And it's one of those movies that it appeals to kind of everyone. And what I love about, and I was very sad to see that Studio Ghibli, they're taking a break from producing because just economic climate, blah, 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 in Japan. They make movies solely based on what they want to make. They're truly an artist studio. Like, right. There's no focus grouping.
Right.
There's no marketing.
18-year-olds are liking this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's literally,
put a princess in a bamboo
shoe. Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to test big.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally like when the wind
halfway
rises,
through, have her hang herself.
Yeah.
That's what we want to see.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's big in America, but
a wagon train full of nut birds. Yeah,
exactly. Tommy Lee Jones liked it.
Yeah. It's like 3:10 to Yuma in Japan.
On a bullet train, yeah. Which is technically
3:10 to Osaka.
Yeah. So this movie it was so good, and it's slower paced, but the animation's beautiful too because it's not typical of the animation that they do.
It's like the 12
pastels
frames
and kind of like half, like some of this the shots and stuff look half finished.
Oh yeah,
and that's just the way it was drawn artistically.
They weren't late.
It wasn't late where they missed a background or something.
I ran out of ink.
Yeah.
We got to get this film up. I have no time to paint this.
So, I mean, it looks beautiful. It looks mesmerizing. There's nothing out there like it at all. And, you know, the story is really great and engaging. And
is it done in that 12 frames per second where it's like you could see some of the frames fade over top like it's a crossfade?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it really looked pretty smooth to me. I'd have to... we'd have to look that up, but I'm not sure. But it didn't look like that.
It
looked like it was very smooth. So it's really one of those movies, just like one of the last movies they made, like The Wind Rises. They're two very different films, but they released them very close to each other as the two directors because they have very different styles. But it has that feel to it, like an ethereal kind of feel, like a dream.
And The Wind Rises was the Japanese Zeros, right? The World War II thing?
Yeah. But it was also kind of like a... Miyazaki's dreams,
right?
Kind of like where it really kind of reflected some of his own life and his journey, and it was really kind of like it didn't really follow a specific narrative flow,
right?
Like it was very like dreamlike as this movie was. So, but it's completely engaging, and the truth is, no one's making movies like this.
There
really aren't. No one's making animated movies like this. There's very few. I mean, there's a couple.
Well, it's time consuming.
It's time consuming, and it's also there's not, you know, you don't have 1,000 suits looking over you saying draw this, draw that,
and also your script has to be in a state because once you start drawing and you're committed to it, You can't go, oh, you know, it'd be good. Let's in scene three, we should do something completely different. Then you're like, oh,
that scene that we already drew.
Yeah, that I have 10,000 pages and background gels. No, we don't need that.
Yeah. Animation is its own animal. That's for sure.
But then when it's hand drawn like that, you know, digital stuff, you can like sort of get.
There's
away
also
with
a lot of cool people who did voices on this.
Yes.
You got Chloe Grace Moretz. You've got James Caan, Mary Steenburgen, Lucy Liu, Bo Bridges, and it's a pretty solid. There's a lot of great voices in this.
They all know Japanese? Or they did the English?
They did the English,
I had to go, Dean.
I had to do a joke.
But it's fantastic. It's really, and especially as one of the last movies that they're going to make for a while, it was well-deserving of the Academy Award nomination.
No.
So definitely check it out. We saw it on DVD.
Oh, okay.
So it just came out a little while ago on DVD. But definitely check it out. If you're an animation lover and you love like the Studio Ghibli films, definitely check it out.
Gotcha.
All right.
Yeah.
Ready? We got a new sponsor.
What?
Casper Mattresses.
How did they find you, sponsors?
They
called you up?
Here's what happened.
Yeah, let's hear this.
This is an online, they ship the mattress to you.
Yes.
It's memory foam.
Combined with premium latex foam.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they sent me a mattress to try out.
Yeah.
And I...
Because we've got to approve of the products that we tell you
guys
about.
I want to make sure it's a good mattress. I need a new mattress.
Right.
So I was I was thinking about buying one. This is perfect.
You've been sleeping on the beach?
I've been sleeping on the beach.
Which is comfy.
Kind of nice.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
But I... So I've been literally... This is no bullshit. I've been thinking about going to memory foam because my old mattress, which was great, but it was almost 10 years old. It was a spring with a memory foam pillow top.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right.
Super comfortable.
Right.
But it's done.
It's done.
It's done.
The springs get a little saggy.
Yeah. And the memory, it has Alzheimer's. Come on. Who's with me? Ladies and gentlemen.
Come on.
It had foam dementia.
It had foam dementia. So you had to put it on special pills.
That was my punk rock band.
Foam dementia.
Oh my God. I saw those guys at fucking
84.
Oh my God.
They opened for Sid Vicious.
Oh, they were unbelievable. And then when they came back to Lollapalooza in the 90s, the drummer died of drugs, but it was a whole thing.
Foam dementia.
Hashtag foam dementia.
Foam dementia, ladies and gentlemen.
Hashtag foam dementia and hashtag 310 to Osaka.
Yeah.
Those are the hashtags of this particular program.
Fantastic.
So I obviously spent a lot of time in hotel rooms.
Right.
I'd say about...
You know mattresses.
I do know mattresses, kid. I say 15 to 20% of the hotels out there are starting to use memory foam.
Mm-hmm. Are they really?
Thank goodness. And so my sleep patterns on the road are not great.
Right.
It's the time zones, the traveling,
the whole thing.
All the stuff. Every time I sleep on memory foam on the road, I'm like, that wasn't bad. You know what I mean? So I've been thinking about I want to get a memory foam. So they sent me one and I slept on it. It was great. I'm literally coming off of... Literally, it was just three nights, but we are in a different city every day. And when you do that, it's a lot, man. It's loading up bags on and off the rental car, and ba-bang, ba-bang, and that shit. And, you know, we did three shows a day almost, you know?
Lord.
And then, just yesterday, we woke up at 5:45 in the morning, left at 6:15, drove 2 hours to from Eugene to Portland.
Right.
No nonstops on United from Portland to LAX, so we had to go through San Francisco.
Yeah, why would there be?
Who's
going from LA to Portland?
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
So I get
in. San Francisco, you have to transfer.
I've had 5 hours of sleep. I was home for about 2-3 hours. I ran errands. I went on a bike ride. Then I went to this really cool event at the Veterans in Film and TV, this new organization that's only 3 years old, that they asked me to speak because they saw Afghanistan, that I've gone over there. VFTLA.org, really cool organization about if you want to hire vets in film and TV production. Joe Montana spoke there.
Oh, great.
Really cool event.
That's
cool. But I was fucking exhausted. Hour and a half in traffic to get to goddamn Hollywood, of course, from the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, got to be there at 6:30. I'm like, perfect time. Perfect time. So I come home at 11.
Right.
And I have this new mattress that it comes in a box.
It's folded up.
It's folded up in a box.
Right. You're not supposed to let it air out or something?
Well,
probably.
Yeah, you are. So I got home in the afternoon, I unfolded it, and then it's wrapped, and they give you even a little cutter thing to cut open.
Ah, that's thoughtful.
So then I let it breathe for whatever, 5-6 hours. I come back from the VFT event, mattress is ready to go.
Look at that.
And I'm so goddamn tired. I sleep on it. And I woke up, I had a great night of sleep. And I'm just like, I'm in.
Really?
And here's the great thing about Casper mattresses. Let's say you're like, I don't know if memory foam works for me. They have, what is it, 100 days
you get to try it in your house.
100 days?
100 days. And if you don't like it, you can ship it back for free.
On the 99th day. Just
99th
like,
day.
Ah, you know what?
I'm done.
I realize that these 99 days of awesome sleeping aren't for me.
Aren't for me. I want to go back to weird sleep patterns.
Exactly. And getting up at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Going back to the beach.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going back to sleep on the beach like a hobo. So that is the thing about these.
Awesome. So it's not, it was one of those things where like, oh gosh, you know, you go and you usually try out a mattress in a store. But now they kind of take that risk out. You can try it in your home for 100 days.
Okay, but you know what? Here's my problem. I sleep on my stomach, like face plant, like I'm flying like Superman. Like, that's how I sleep.
Well, you're weird.
I was just checking.
This is not the podcast to help with this.
No. I'm just saying, if I'm sleeping on that, is like the memory foam. Am I sinking so deep into the memory foam that I can't breathe?
Are you using a pillow? Or are you just literally planking?
I'm planking. I'm planking on the mattress, like flat. Like I could just remove all pillows and sheets. I just lay like literally flat faced,
like a drunk that like passed out.
Basically, well, now you know how I get to bed.
Okay, Dean's sleep tips, everybody. Yeah. Looks like a little vodka. What are we?
Uncle Jack Daniels. Oh, you're talking
that's
about.
That's my sleeping pill, kids.
Uncle Jake Daniels has been.
So it's soft, but it's not too soft.
Here's the thing. It has some of the memory foam, and I've heard some people complain they don't like memory foam, that it
sinks.
It sinks too much.
Yeah, yeah.
And over time, this was pretty firm. This is the firmest memory foam. It's a good mix. And they even say in the packaging, they're like, give your body, if you're never used to sleeping on memory foam, it's a completely different experience. Give it a week or two. But you've got 100 days.
Ah.
So like, it's crazy not to try this out, because I'll tell you this, the queen size mattress that I've got is $850. You can get a twin for $500, $750 for a full size. So my original mattress with the pillow top was close to $2,000.
What?
It was a really nice high end mattress.
Right.
It was worth the money, but $2,000.
That's a lot. That's for 10 years?
For 10 years.
Yeah, that's like
$200 a year.
Thank you for doing that. I was told there'd be no math in the show.
You looked at me very scared.
Yeah, it's $200 a month. Yeah, you're right.
So for $850, $950 for a king size. You're getting a really nice high-end mattress, and again, they ship it to you for free.
Yeah, but Graham, we could do better than that. We could help out our fans,
what?
Right?
What? Yes.
How can we do that,
how
Chris?
About $50 off any mattress purchase?
Well, how do I do that, though, Chris?
Oh, my God. It's so easy. Casper.com/comedyfilmnerds and use the promo code, wait for it, Comedy Film Nerds.
Oh,
that's so easy. So I could get a queen size mattress for now $800.
You sure could with free shipping.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, if you're in the market for a mattress, try it out.
Right. Yeah, see if you like it.
You've got nothing to lose. Literally, you've got nothing to lose. You can get a full refund, and they'll take the mattress back.
In 99 days. That's the amazing thing. Like, you know, you hear 30 days. But, like, I'm on the road. Like, who's got
time for that?
I'm so disorganized. I wouldn't even think about
100's
it.
100's good.
And if you don't know after 3 months, then you're a boozy sleeper like Dean.
Yeah. You shouldn't have a bed.
Boozy sleeper.
You're a rummy.
Exactly. Can I cut a hole in the mattress to put a straw so I can put the metal under the bed if I sleepy face down?
Can I put nachos and vodka next to the bed?
There's a drool pen directly in the middle of the mattress. Can I do that?
So go to Casper.com/comedyfilmnerds. Use coupon code comedyfilmnerds and get a Dean Haglund drool pan.
You look at that.
No, $50 off and free shipping, guys, and there's no risk. So check it out.
You can't go wrong. You don't like it, send it back.
Yeah.
Look at that. Fantastic.
Oh,
so, Casper, all right.
God, that was a great mattress.
So, Casper mattresses.
Oh, that was great.
I'm telling you, a lot of these sponsors we get, you know, and this will be one of them, I'm still using even after the ad buy goes away.
They make money off of us. That's what's so hysterical about a lot of these advertisers.
You keep chatting about it.
I keep buying them.
And we keep actually spending our own money on some of these.
Yes. Yes.
Trunk Club, I bought like a bunch
of. Dude, Harry's Razors?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you use Ayers razors?
They're the best.
Really?
Dude.
I see that ad all the time. Like, well, what? I can't.
I was using Mach 3s.
Yeah.
They're at least $1.50 cheaper than those.
That's really? Why podcast advertising is so successful for advertisers, because all the podcast hosts are buying the...
buying the crap. Right. Yeah. So like, oh.
Now we're giving them a free goddamn plug. So let's...
And they're not even advertising. No, geez. What the hell? Stop talking about those jerks.
All right. So
they're great people.
Oh, yeah.
So go to Casper.com/comedyfilmnerds.
Now, got it. Dean, you got a lot to talk about. You've got a movie, actually, a screening that we're going to tonight called The Lady Killers.
Are you guys coming?
So, yeah, I RSVP.
He's coming. Oh, yeah. I have to go to another event for
podcasts. Look, man, hey, look, talk to the hand.
Okay. Wow. Wow. I actually am going to a talk to the hand event.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's an outdated insults convention. And it's sponsored by don'tgothere.com.
Yeah, don'tgothere.com. Oh, no, you didn't.
And you do the math. You do the math as the big sponsor.
Big sponsor. Yeah, yeah. No, Lady Killers. How long are we working on this now?
Jesus. 7 years.
So it feels like it. I'm not kidding. I was executive producer starring in it.
No, but you really have been working on it for, like, since you wrote the script, right? Hasn't
yeah, yeah. Well,
the history of the film.
Yeah.
Yes, the year was 1994. The young man graduated from school. No, I, let's see.
You didn't graduate.
Simon Fraser University is a real university. I got in so much trouble last time. Remember we started... Yes. You guys, it's not a real university. And then everybody who goes to Simon Fraser goes, you got to tell those guys that's a real university in Canada.
So how, when people Google it, how is this different from the Tom Hanks Lady Killers that came out?
Well, because you put the ladykillersmovie.com. See, then
but
you get
it on IMDb.
Then it's the Lady Killers, the 2015 one. So,
okay.
This is directed and written by Phil Lernes, starring Jamie Keller, myself.
How do you pronounce Phil's last name for real? Is it Lernes?
Yeah, he says Lernes. I say Lernes because it's, but it's a made up name. When the family came over from Norway, they weren't getting their mail somewhere in Minnesota or something. So the dad picked a brand new, granddad picked a brand new name. And out of the book, he just picked Lernes. And then, yeah. Apparently you could do that back in the 1800s.
Wow.
I know.
All right, fair enough.
So
my original name was Dubrovnik, and my great-grandfather went, we can't name a city in Yugoslavia as that last name. We're going to go with Elwood.
Well, that worked too. Yeah, so there was a lot of that going on. Anyway, so I always say Lernes, and he says I mispronounce it, but now I said it so often on our podcast, Chilpack Hollywood Hour, that it stuck. So now it's Lernes.
Got it.
Okay. So we are tonight at the Downtown Independent.
Is this open to the public?
I think it's friends only, but...
Okay, fair enough.
But
here's the difference. Just in typing, just
okay,
so people
you.
Know on IMDb.
Right.
If you do the lady, and you do Lady Killers as one word, that comes up the Tom Hanks movie. If you do lady, separate word from Killers,
right.
Then this movie comes out 2015. It says director Phil Lernes, writer Phil Lernes, and everybody else who's in it.
Right. Okay. And so this is a movie... what we're trying to, it's about exploitation, but how do you talk about, it's a female positive crime thriller that is heightening exploitation within movies, but without being exploitive. Very tricky.
You pitched that so well that I don't think I'm coming.
Okay, and there's a hanging in the third act.
Now I'm
now
in,
I'm
kiddo.
Lord.
All right.
Is there a wagon train full of lunatics?
It sure is. There is now in the audience. No, I'm kidding.
You show up in your lone gunman outfit for one scene?
No. You know, this is exactly me not being a lone gunman at all. I don't even wear glasses in this. What? I know. So, exciting. It's still, we're using this as a kind of a test market audience. So,
sure.
We get your feedback will be most appreciated.
So,
because there's still one more edit that we can go through before we go to festivals. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. And then, so you're still obviously distribution and all that.
Still down the road. Still,
okay.
Yeah. We're not locked. Phil was in foreign distribution with Cinema Arts Entertainment.
He knows the play.
He knows the whole schmeal. And so
the screening tonight is at what time?
Why, it's at 7 precisely because there's another screen at 9:30. And it's like...
you got to start right.
Downtown Independent is a cool...
Really cool. And they...
Well, tell us about the character you play.
I play Paul, who is a kind of a roguish document shredder. Like, you never see that character, a document, top secret document shredder. And basically, it's a group of guys that get together after college to do the relive a prank they did 20 years earlier. And so each one of us has come now with all our baggage of what's happened over that 20 years and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. And hoping good things for it. It's got a big,
Well, congrats on getting this far.
Executive producing. Oh, yeah, I know.
Years for you guys.
Years. And, you know, I'm small claims court, for parking. You know, when we had to park that trailer and then we couldn't.
Does every project you do have some kind of legal issue?
I know, right? What is going on? I can't believe it. Even the judge at this point goes, I'm sure I'll see you again, Mr. Hagelin. Like, what kind of dooming phrase is that for the judge? It's just like, that's the most horrible thing you've ever said. It's unbelievable. So, anyway, so that's happening tonight.
Oh, Jamie Kaler's in it.
That's what I said. Did I pronounce a Kaler? I said Kaler.
Yeah, it's Jamie Kaler. That's I know him. He's a very funny guy. He's a
really funny guy, and he's the lead in this thing. So he's playing a detective who's doing some dramatic work.
He's a solid guy.
He's got his own show on Sirius Radio and TV. Yeah. He's on the American Heroes Channel. Yeah.
He's been on a lot of TV. You guys, if you look up Jamie Kaler, you'll see his face. You go, oh right, he was on that show on TBS. I think My Best Friends or The Guy Friends or something. I don't know, this is horrible. This is
the worst. I love that guy. I don't know what he
I
was
love
in.
That guy in that thing.
Friend Patrol or Friend Squad or...
Friend Squad. We got to crank this off, fellas.
This is horrible.
So that's that. And then, of course, this film shows tonight with my last 39 days left in Los Angeles.
I know.
What's going on? You've been extradited.
No.
No.
As a patriotic effort to reduce water usage in California in the middle of our drought.
I'm going to another whole country that's suffering from drought.
They just had 300 millimeters of rain yesterday. Oh. So they had a massive flood in Sydney, Australia. So that's where I'm going, where the rain problem is. So, yeah. So, no, I'm moving there for at least 2 years. For those Australian fans that listen to this show, I'll be June 20th at the science fiction convention in Sydney, not Armageddon Con, but the other one. Then I'll be in Perth on the 27th with me and Gary Jones improvising at both shows.
Oh.
Then I'll be in New Zealand on July 17th. Doing geek stand-up comedy and another sci-fi convention down near Wellington somewhere. And then I'll be at the Melbourne Improv Comedy Festival on the 10 days later, July 27th.
Dude!
I already got stuff set up. We'll hook you up with C.J. Johnson,
who's
one of our other Australian writers. We'll now have two writers in Australia.
Yes, and then
two embeds. Two CFN embeds.
And then we can see different movies down there, I guess.
Yeah.
Review the Australian
stuff.
That's so
cool. And then when we, as we were saying before we start recording, but that, we've talked about this before, we are going to be bringing earbuds there in the fall.
And you have no theater. You don't know what or how or
don't
CJ's
know yet.
Actually going
to
be helping.
CJ's going to help with that. Hopefully Will Anderson can help because we'd like to have him do Q&As and stuff because I know Will is going to be there, I think, working in the fall.
Uh-huh.
So that's the goal is to screen earbuds and we'll screen it. We want to do Sydney and Melbourne, obviously. If we can go out to Perth, which is close to where Russell lives, the miner that we interviewed.
Yes. Right.
So that's what we want to set a Fantastic. Screening. So if we could come out to Australia for a couple weeks and do screenings and then do some live CFN recordings.
Absolutely. Get a little stand-up happening,
Some jokes and skits.
I'm probably going to implement my plan.
Fail-safe plan?
Fail-safe plan. No, the show that I tried to do here, which was Paper Laughs, a Paper Laughs live comedy show, so that you come in, it's a free show, and if you don't laugh, you don't have to pay. But you just sort of gauge it yourself. There's another place in Amsterdam that actually has cameras on your face, and every time you smile, they charge you 5-10 cents. And so there's like a running meter.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's horrible because I would never laugh. I'd just be like, get this camera off me. Yeah, what the hell? Yeah. Right? But this is one where you just come in.
You're on the laugh honor system.
I'll laugh honor system. And then I stand there with a bucket as you walk your way out and you're just like.
And you throw up.
You throw up. However much laughter you thought
give
was worth it.
Give you a gin-soaked sponge so you can sleep that night and then everything's perfect.
I am good, people.
No, that's awesome though. But let's obviously talk about.
Yes, Australian earbuds.
Setting up. Shows and everything because if we come all the way out there, we
we have so many Australian fans now.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to do a live show out there.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of X-File Australian fans out there as well.
Well, we so got to ask that question, too. Do you know if you're going to be part of the reboot yet?
What? I do not. Mm. But that's not unusual for the Lone Gunman. Often we were told a day or two before when we'd have to be on set, and they would just hand us the lines as we walked in. And you just go, oh, was that in English? Good. Thanks, guys, for coming. So that'd be it, like one take. So
spit out your gum. Okay, let's go.
Exactly. Did that work? Yeah, okay. We'll leave the cameras running, boys. You say your lines. We'll be in the trailers. And then, no, so they haven't even hired all the writers yet, from what I heard. I know Smoky Man's in, Skinner, Mitch Pileggi's in, David and Jillian are doing it, Chris Carter's in. I don't think Frank Spotnitz, I think he's still over in London. I'm not sure he's in. And, of course, Vince Gilligan's doing Better Call Saul.
Right.
So he's not. So there's got to be a whole new slate of writers and a whole new approach to the show, which is based on the fact that Netflix wants to buy the entire series.
Wow.
Yes, but they want it to have a definite ender, so that you can binge watch it and have a satisfying, not this open-ended thing of like, oh, maybe they'll come back or we don't know.
Well, yeah, because they would buy the whole catalog. Right?
They buy the whole catalog.
And then do an original.
Thing, yeah. And so that you would just
watch. I love Netflix for that shit.
So,
Jesus, that's awesome.
I know. So that's the operandi for bringing this back was like, oh, yeah. So it's a 13-year commercial break and now we're back. And that we're just going to now use these six to
I hope that happens. And then all you film nerd fans out there in New Zealand and Australia, come out and,
yeah, come June 20th anyway.
Yeah, support Dean and ask him a bunch more questions.
Yeah, just like this of stuff I don't know. And then I tell you exactly what Twitter I read of the Smoking Men, and I relay that to you.
Well, you know what? The fans, like when I was there a couple years ago performing and people brought their film nerd books for me to autograph, get Dean to get be a completist. Get all the writers to autograph it.
Look at that. Yeah. That'd
now
be smart.
It's going to be harder now with Dean not in the same country.
Exactly.
Australia,
you can't
that's
do it in Australia.
But it can still be done.
Exactly. Be done. When I'm traveling around.
Yeah, because you're still going to be in L.A. periodically.
Yes, yes. I'll be flying back and forth and I'm keeping the place here. So I'll be bi-coastal, one ocean.
Hello. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what it is.
Or we could just meet in the middle in Guam or Hawaii.
Yeah, Fiji. Yeah. Fiji's right in the middle. Did you been to Fiji?
No.
Oh, I flew through Fiji. Fantastic.
All right, I'm going.
There's a little band that plays you off the gangplank.
Well, we
off the
set
plane
up a screening in Fiji.
Yes. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I know we got a fan in Guam.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
We have a fan on Maui and we have a fan on Guam.
Right.
We'll do screenings for just one guy.
And I nearly set up the very first.
If one person shows up, it's still a write off.
as long as they're surfing, I don't care.
The very first Comic Con in Okinawa on the military base. They were like, oh, we were so close to getting it done until some general from Vandenberg got involved. I don't know how that happens. But anyway, so that could happen by the time you guys are over there. Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
I'm in.
Okay. And bring this little mixer.
Yeah, we were. Well, that sounds great. Looking forward to the movie tonight.
Yes.
And
At 7.
I'll try to get there a little earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Be late, Dick.
Yeah, there's free beer. Right. Oh, no, there's not free. No. There's no.
But
why did I say that?
That's
just for Dean's bed.
Distribution, yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and then as distribution comes, let us know, because we could have any and all of these actors on the show.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We would love that.
To promote it, and they can promote whatever else they got going on.
And, of course, as you know, help distribute the movie, too.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's always the thing.
Yeah.
Getting the word out there.
Okay, so let's talk about DVD and Blu-rays this week. Taken 3. Now, did you end up seeing this one?
I've never seen it. No. I'm gonna.
Yeah.
One day.
I have to see this.
Yeah, I want to see them all at once. Like, yeah. I just want to see them.
You know, binge watch the Taken series.
So that it's just like, just see them like, oh, now who did you take? Oh, for credit. Yeah. It's like, oh, now what?
I'm going to watch it. Yeah. I got to watch this movie. I got to see them all. I've seen one and two.
Yeah. And how old is Liam now? He's like in his
60s. 79.
Yeah. He's 80. He's 89, still kicking ass. Yes. Like, who's his Pilates instructor? That's what I want to know. That is that is keeping him in shape.
If anybody knows Liam Neeson's Pilates instructor, tell us.
Get him in touch with Dean.
Exactly. I am going to get a mattress and I'm going to start a Pilates thing.
Go to Casper.com and get a Pilates.
I'm going to fill it with gin.
Exactly. Sleep at the gym. That's how I'm going to work it out.
So the next movie is the Jennifer Aniston movie, Cake.
Oh, yeah. Did you see this?
I did see this. I really liked it.
Yeah, I heard it was big dramatic acting.
Very good
really great to see her play, do these kind of things, because she's always sort of doing the
funny, fun comedy,
jokey jokes. So yeah, this was a really solid movie, really great performances. You can see why, you know, she got some nominations off of this. So if you missed it, this is a great movie to check out.
Right. Okay, cool.
I'm doing it.
The next movie is Everly. Now, this is an interesting movie. This is a Salma Hayek film. It almost feels like a reverse The Raid, because she's literally in her apartment the entire time, but with 1,000 guns and weapons and all these things, and then a bunch of guys just try to come in after her, and she just kicks ass.
Is she in a bad neighborhood? Like, what is the... Why?
I'm sure there's some kind of mob, blah, blah, blah issue here and there. So,
but are the
Hiro
walls...
Yuki Watanabe is in it.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in a bunch of... He was in... God, he was in Godzilla, Mothra. And
who directed this?
Now, this is directed by Joe Lynch, and now this is interesting. This is his first bigger movie after the disastrous Knights of Badassdom, where he shot that movie and the studio came in and pretty much completely
took it away.
When I say studio, production company,
right?
Not a studio,
right? Right.
It was like an indie movie that got literally screwed over, and it didn't get it didn't get asylumed.
Did it get asylum?
Didn't get asylum, but it definitely.
He didn't go to a fake country.
Yeah, yeah. He was. Let's just say him and the fans were not happy with the end product.
Wow.
To the point where the same thing, where the production company wouldn't even talk to him and any of this. Like, they had no idea what was going on with his film.
So it happens all the time.
Yeah, apparently it does. Even in especially in low budget.
Salma Hayek, armed to the teeth, in a.
Yes.
In an apartment.
I'm going to guess, I haven't seen the film, but she's probably scantily clad in a few scenes.
Fantastic. And then I'm assumed that there's not drywall, but steel plates of armor. That how do you do 2 hours of shooting up an apartment and not have it just be rafters?
Who cares? Yeah. Selma Hayek's pissed off with a gun. There's Yakuza running around.
Yeah.
I'm in.
You're in.
Got it.
But you know, you always think, the machine guns, they're going to eat up the drywall after a couple rounds, you know, so that
maybe just going into the bathroom where there's tile.
Maybe they have a very comfortable Casper mattress that absorbing
the bullets.
Absorbs bullets.
Put your Casper mattress up vertically against the wall and arm yourself to the teeth, kids.
Coupon code Comedy Film Nerds. The next time you're having a Yakuza attack, save $50.
Save $50. And they deliver for free during the attack.
Yes.
Let's say you win the attack, you knock them all out. Yeah. You can't sleep on a bullet real mattress. Send it back to them. They take it back.
100 days.
100 days. Full of lead.
Have your gunfight before the 100 days expires.
That's right. Hurry up, guys.
And also use it to cover up your fake floorboard where your cache of weapons is hidden underneath.
Of course, that's a good
hashtag 100-day gunfight.
That's right. Fantastic. So, okay, awesome.
Now, coming out this week, obviously Misery Loves Comedy with Kevin Pollak, which we talked about last week.
Yes.
The Water Diviner. This is a new Russell Crowe movie.
Right, very Australian.
Now, very interesting is after the Battle of Gallipoli during World War I.
Yes.
And he goes to retrieve the corpses of his three sons who all were killed on the same day.
Right.
So... and at first I'm thinking, well, is they going to stretch this all into a movie? It's based on
true story.
But the twist is, and this is in the trailer, this is not giving anything away. And all of a sudden, when this twist happened, I was far more interested in this film. When he finds the bodies, there's only two. One of them was taken prisoner, so one of them's still alive.
Wow.
I saw the trailer for this, too. Mm-hmm. It looks really fascinating to me. And the Battle of Gallipoli, there's an amazing movie that came out in the 80s called
Gallipoli.
Gallipoli.
And it was also a play of the same name.
Yeah. And that is, we're talking
about...
It
wasn't a successful battle.
Oh, man. And it's like the movie Gallipoli shows... Like,
well, not for the Allies.
Right,
for the Australians, because basically it was like the English said, okay, Australians.
Take over that beach.
Go be a Casper mattress in a Yakuza fight and be bullet sponges.
Bullet sponges, yeah, totally.
They just sent wave. Because the English government was just like, the Aussies are expendable.
Yeah.
And it was like that movie... It was that era of movies that came out of us that was great. There was Breaker Morant. There was Gallipoli.
Right.
And these were – I remember was
– Razorback.
Oh, God.
That director from Duran Duran, he directed that killer pig movie. Yeah.
So to me, when I saw the trailer and knowing the history of that war based on that movie that I saw when my parents – one of the multiple times they took me to a movie, I was –
Yeah, too young to watch.
Yeah, he's like, here's one of murder in the middle. Yeah. Yeah,
war's
like,
hell, son. War's I'm hell. Nine. Go for it. Don't here's be a
the,
pussy.
Watch The Deer Hunter.
Which I also watched.
Yeah, me too. I did too. I was so traumatized. What the hell?
I don't even know what age is appropriate to see that movie.
I know. I still don't think I should see
50.
It.
50.
Yeah. With a therapist sitting next to you.
Exactly.
I was in my 30s and saw it and was disturbed for days. Yeah.
Days. Absolutely.
But so, yeah. So to me, I felt the same thing. I had this sort of this, like, oh, wow. First, the trailer starts. I'm like, is this some Russell? Is this like some Russell Crowe? Like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, this seems, and the fact that it is based on a true story, it's getting a limited release. So you guys got to try to track it down.
Yeah.
I'm excited. And Russell Crowe directs it. So.
And also, knowing Australia, as I do know, it's the 100th anniversary. So their Anzac is this weekend, the big celebration memorial for it. That all the, it's a big holiday all through Australia and New Zealand. And so his timing is perfect that they're doing this movie. It's going to play huge there because that's the whole – that's all they're talking about down there.
Yeah, and I remember when we stayed in Sydney last year to shoot the Earbuds interviews, our hotel was near this big park that had a war memorial.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which
the
was
war memorial park?
I want to say that.
Yeah.
I forget.
I forget, too. But you were downtown. You were like near.
We were right downtown. So, yeah. So it was really cool.
City center.
Yeah. And
I just wish we could have found a Thai restaurant.
What are you talking about?
There was thousands of them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, yeah. There's a Thai restaurant right next to another Thai restaurant.
I know. Well, they offer different types of Thai food.
They both, like, stand out there and try to go, no, you got to come to our Thai restaurant.
Right. That's one's more Chiang Mai and the other's a little more Phuket. Perhaps a little.
Well, somebody's traveled. Oh.
Listen to you.
So, yeah, I this looks really cool.
Yeah, should be good.
Check it out. Check it out however you can see it.
And what's Adult Beginners?
Adult Beginners is an interesting premise. It's getting very mixed reviews.
Okay.
But,
now I'm the executive. Hit me. Yeah. Pitch the premise.
All right. Just to read. It's easier
to
read. Well,
it's got a young narcissistic entrepreneur crashes and burns on the eve of his company's big launch.
Okay.
With his entire life in total disarray, he leaves Manhattan to move in with his estranged parents, it sounds like. Pregnant sister, brother-in-law, and three-year-old nephew in the suburbs, only to become their nanny.
Right.
And you know what? The trailer made me laugh. It was pretty funny.
Really?
You got this narcissistic.
Who's
Nick Kroll, Rose Byrne in it.
Oh, yeah, the Kroll show.
A lot of funny people in it.
Yeah. Is there a hanging?
A minute 45, there's a hanging.
An old-fashioned Manhattan hanging.
There's going to be a mint down hanging.
Somebody go to Five Points and get a rope.
Sure, this is New York, fellas.
This is our New York. There's Joel McHale's in it. I haven't seen the trailer, but you said it looked funny.
It did. It made me laugh. The trailer made me laugh.
Okay. So. Right. But sometimes they just cram all the funny bits into the trailer.
I am well aware how we've been tricked many times on trailers.
I know. They shoot stuff now just called trailer fodder. Shoot like, okay, we're just going to do a comedy scene apropos to nothing in the movie, but it's going to just play hilarious in the trailer.
I'm not sure at all.
Hot Pursuit will have something like that because the billboards make my eyes hurt.
Oh, no.
And how dumb it looks.
Yeah. So
it's literally like, Hot Pursuit went, we have to be watched less than Paul Blart 2. Yes. This is our quest.
Yeah, and we're going to share the same audience, so we can't come out on the same weekend. You know, there's only so many dumb people who are going to buy tickets.
Paul Blart has like zero on Rotten Tomatoes. Like
I saw a billboard for it. I go, maybe I'll go see that. Oh, it came out in April. in March.
Yeah.
Didn't it come out in March? I don't even know.
Who cares?
Right.
It just came out.
I just made it.
But it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry. Okay.
All right, spotlight, fan feedback.
Yeah, woo! this is a funny way that comedy film nerds always comes back around in a circle. After watching the Ant-Man trailer, a fan had pointed out on Twitter that Peyton Reed, the director for Ant-Man, also directed the Herbie the Love Bug remake with Bruce Campbell that we were talking about.
Wow.
Years ago.
This is why you guys are amazing fans. Wow. You find shit out.
Yeah.
That is so...
I never would have put that together.
Is that on his Facebook? On his IMDb?
It is. It's on his IMDb. I checked it. Wow. Yeah.
He has Herbie the Love Bug. I didn't know there was a Herbie the Love Bug remake.
And that's what's... It was a made-for-TV movie that no one saw. Except myself and a few other people, right, it has Bruce Campbell stars in it.
Wow.
Dana Gould and Jeff Garland is in it at the
what?
End.
All my friends?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, they're in this movie.
How did I not even know what? Oh, my gosh. And so he, how did he get, did he show that to the studio and then they went, oh, you know what? We got a project.
We got Ant-Man. For Ant-Man.
Give Ant-Man.
Yeah.
We got you for Ant-Man, Peyton Reed.
No.
Okay.
Now, the next fan feedback is, as you guys know, the Batman versus Superman trailer dropped. And
yes.
Our friends from Comics on Comics,
right?
Vita Lapicola, posted this on our Facebook fan page.
Okay.
And I think he sums it up beautifully, one
Hi,
of the
Vito,
problems
by the way.
With this. The problem with this film is that it's based on part on The Dark Knight Returns, which takes place decades into the future after Bats and Supes have been lifelong friends. There is weight and resonance to the battle because of all their history together.
Right.
Making it happen at the beginning of said relationship takes away from all of that history and just makes it a stupid fight between
God
superheroes.
Damn it, are you right?
That's so true.
Why are his eyes glowing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know. It's like, maybe so
mad?
He can have X-ray vision too.
Or is it just that it's the reflection of like he's looking at a fire or something, like a fireplace and it's reflecting
in
his eyes?
Yeah, it could be that. Just the bright lights and he's
Yeah. It's just his thoughtful pipe in front of the fireplace before they could have a fight in the den.
And maybe he's got progressive lenses.
Sure.
And that's how they catch the light.
Because he's the older Batman.
He's the older Batman. He's got, bifocal.
Here's the other problem with that trailer. Because I believe there was another trailer for another anticipated movie that came out. I forget the name.
Yeah, it was weird. Came out on the same day.
But they do all this bum. Like, there's this big anticipation. I want to go, no, there isn't.
No.
Like, when Batman Begins came out, everyone was like, all right, we'll see. But after that was proven, then the Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises trailers had everybody going,
we enjoyed the first one.
Right. Now, what are you anticipating?
And it sets up Superman like this weird villain. Like, nobody wants him around. And the whole point is that Superman is like more human than human, basically.
Right. And super good guy, the moral center.
Yeah, and he's the basically the culmination of all of humanity's aspirations, what we need to become. And that's how Superman was created as a comic book character.
Totally.
And now it's turning it completely around at the beginning of the film.
Well, Vito is so correct because in the Dark Knight Returns, right? In those graphic novels.
Right.
Old, mean, cagey Batman.
Right.
Haggard, has to use all these things to stay afloat.
Hurt himself.
They had there's so much history. They refer to the fact that Congress outlawed superheroes, except for Superman. He refers to Superman as the Boy Scout. He's basically like, you're fucking.
And all the other heroes left.
All the other heroes left. They've all been chased out or hunted, and he's like, you know, Superman's an old fucking pussy who did the country's bidding.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, I'm sick, fuck you. And you think you got your special powers? Like, it's on. Like, it's just like four decades of like, enough.
Right.
Yeah, you're a patsy for the government.
You're a patsy for the government. You get parades. Everyone hates me, but I'm doing it for, and there's a great line from Superman goes, oh, Bruce, you're always fighting your holy war. And he's saying this as he's doing Reagan's bidding to fight Russia.
It's so great.
So then take again.
We remove that.
And you've got
punching each other.
And you've got Ben Affleck, who should be playing Superman.
Yeah.
He should be playing Superman.
Who's playing Superman? Is that?
It's that same guy from the last one.
Carville?
Yeah, Henry Cavill, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is actually a great actor, but they don't give him any dialogue, so how would you know?
And Ben Affleck should be playing Superman. Because Superman is, especially in this fight, is the, well, everybody knows, like, Superman is an A-list actor, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And Batman just needs to be this mean, cagey, fucking, it's that great scene in
Liam Neeson.
I mean, honestly. Well,
if you were doing Dark Knight Returns, Liam Neeson would be the perfect Batman.
He would be, wouldn't he?
Damn it. Mm-hmm. Well, there's that great scene in with Heath Ledger and Christian Bale in The Dark Knight where Heath Ledger's going, you think you're different than me?
Right.
You're a lunatic who dresses up and who do you think? Don't talk like them. Don't talk like them. It's such a great thing.
Yeah. And so true.
And so true, because he is kind of a psychopath.
Totally.
Batman is nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And what the fuck is this? Like, God
damn it. Wow, for those who missed it, Graham just blew a lid. It just literally popped one out of the sky.
Well, it's because I'm so well rested from my Casper.
Yeah, exactly. That's why. But now you could just get enraged over this thing.
That trailer. I've been holding back. I'm like, let's see.
Maybe.
I'll give you credit on your optimism.
Yeah,
it's now gone.
It's now gone.
That stupid trailer. Yeah. I don't want to see anymore.
Well, maybe that the maybe
I don't know if I can even see this movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm gonna make this vow right now. I don't think I'm gonna pay for it. I'm gonna watch it on
the plane.
Well, yeah. I'll see it on the big screen. I'll give it.
Okay, you give it the big screen.
I'll give it the big screen, but I'm gonna try to do that thing. I can't do this all the time, but I try to like buy a ticket for the indie movie. And then slide into the big budget.
My producer crawl, as we know. Yes. Exactly. Uh-huh. It's so handy that way. Mm-hmm. So. I love the 14. Do the 14 all in an afternoon. It's just like, okay, 14 screens, so I'm all good.
So 20 minutes of this, 20 exactly minutes of what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Get there at 9 a.m.
At 9 a.m. And you know, that's the weird thing. You can walk into a movie, now that you've seen enough movies, you can walk in and see any 20 minutes and sort of figure out,
you know,
oh yeah, okay. Oh, is this the tone? And that's okay.
And you can just ask a friend. So in the end, did he buy the thing instead of the? Yeah. Oh no, the girl bought it. Okay, great.
And then that's or just listen to all my reviews where I blow spoilers left, right, and center. That's it.
My chair just went back.
You just almost went flip backwards. All right. That's hilarious.
Well, thank you for that veto.
Yes. Well all done. Right.
That's our show, I believe.
What? How did that happen?
It's pretty exciting.
Pretty exciting.
Wow. It might be the last time we have Dean on for a while.
I know. Come May 18th to the Lash, those who are in Los Angeles for my going away show. Completely free comedy, 8:30 Monday night downtown, Winston and Main, right behind the Must restaurant up the alley.
It's a cool little area down there.
Kind of little cool area. It's like really it. Happening, yeah. Hip and happening. And perhaps you two fellas have been doing some time in my going away show.
I should be around. Yeah, Monday night, the 18th. Yeah, I should be around.
Yeah, I'm around. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just pressuring you now live on the air.
That's great.
Yeah.
Exactly. I love being strong-armed.
Yeah. No, I can't. Why? I don't know.
Monday nights, I typically just like to
have this thing. Yes. Yeah,
I got to wash my hair.
all right, well, cool. May 18th. So now, Dean, where... hopefully the next time we're on the show, we'll be recording in Australia.
Oh, yes. Won't that be sweet?
I like
absolutely.
It.
And I'll have a extra bedroom with only one mattress.
We'll bring Graham's Casper mattress.
Yeah, I'll fold mine up and bring it on the plane.
Just ship it under your arm. I know it's a lot of baggage. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I have a small car. But yeah, let's pack it.
It'd be cheaper than sending your dogs.
I guess so. Yeah, totally. Wouldn't it? Just ship them in the mattress. Does Casper do international?
I don't think they do. I think it's just North America.
Okay. Just now, till they kick it huge and go global.
And the mattresses, by the way, aren't made in America.
All right.
They are.
So, where can people find you on the internet?
Holy
smokes. You on the line?
Look at that. You can see me at my newly constructed page that's almost complete. I'd be doing that right now if I wasn't subbing for some other guy who canceled on you. DeanHaglin.com. Follow me on Twitter, D Haglin. You can check out our podcast, Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, at ChillPack, spelled CHILLPAK, Hollywood.com.
Now, are you going to still keep doing the podcast through Skype?
Yeah, we are going to somehow. We have pre-recorded some shows so we can figure out all the technical hoo-ha for the next couple months, and then we are going to continue doing the show. And then we even had a bet. Our Oscar pool competition this year was who gets the time zone when we do our podcast.
Oh, nice! Yes,
exactly. And I won this year by one, so I get the sweet time zone of when to do the podcast.
Stick it to him. He's got to get up at 4 in the morning.
4 in the morning. Hey, we're live. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. So that's hilarious. And then the ladykillersmovie.com. Mm-hmm. Check out what we will be watching this evening. Mm-hmm. What else? There's our documentary, The Truth Is Out There.
Yes.
Truth-is-outthere.com.
And that is available on Comedy Film Nerds right now as a download.
That's right.
And his comic book?
Oh, yeah. Of course, we have Dean's comic book.
You still have some of those?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, my gosh. I am down to the last...
Some signed Dean Haglin comic books. And the other thing we have,
we're marking that price.
Yeah, no, that's
we're going to
yeah.
fucking jam yeah. it to yeah. you just to be assholes.
But guys,
I think we have a couple of your conspiracy trading cards packs.
Yeah. Oh,
a few
you
of those
do?
Left too. Yeah.
Come
yeah.
on, I thought I took all of those back because those sold out big time.
You're gonna have to leave.
Yeah, yeah. I'm taking the inventory out of here. This is me taking it to Australia.
Folks, everybody start buying now before he goes to Australia.
Ding, 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 ding. What the hell? All these sales. I need one of those back over there. That's hilarious. Awesome. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right. I will be – where am I going to be? May 6th and 7th, I will be in Lake Havasu doing some shows at a bar there. I'm going to post the – I think I posted the – they don't really have a website. There's like a phone number, but I put it on my Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com.
Don't go swimming in the water.
Yeah.
You heard about that microbe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's scary.
And there's alligators and piranhas.
What?
Yeah, sure.
Well, the microbe makes them grow large.
Oh, yeah, that's why.
Yeah. So, yeah, check that out, and we'll have any more dates. I'm going to be in Vegas in July, Tahoe in August, and more tour dates and stuff like that. And, of course, LA Podfest, September 18th through the 20th.
That is coming up. We've got a lot of shows already signed, mm-hmm. and, you know, we've added we're looking on adding a lot more, but right now we have
the Sklar Brothers.
Sklar Brothers.
Just added. So we've got Doug Benson, Never Not Funny, Aisha Tyler, Mark Maron.
Yep, Comedy Bang Bang. It's mm-hmm. going to be great. And Jackie Cation.
Yep, Jackie
Look at
Cation.
That.
So we're adding more every day.
My God, I want to see that show.
Oh, and Indoor Kids. We added Indoor Kids.
So Todd Glass.
And Todd Glass.
Todd Glass is going to be on it. So we're stacking up. It's going to be a great event. And the other thing we're going to do too, and we'll release the details on this, we're working on doing like a preview night on Thursday the 17th at the Hollywood Improv.
Yes.
So in conjunction with Sideshow Network. Like a 90-minute show and probably have three podcasts, each doing like a 30-minute.
Yeah, I just did Sheena Metal Sunday night at the Improv, and it was packed.
Yeah.
Because you're just doing her radio show. But it's like, oh, everybody comes to see it live.
Yeah. And it's also for a lot of people who are coming in from out of town. You're going to get there on Thursday. It gives you a show for you guys to go to. And it'll
If you have a weekend pass, you get into the Hollywood show free. We're working out all the details on that, that's something we're going to offer for you guys.
That's definitely working on that. And also you'll be able to, like say you get in town, you don't have your pass yet. You could actually buy it at the Improv and avoid the lines when you get to the festival.
Wow.
So for the entire event. So we're working on all that too. So it's kind of extends, gives you a little more value for your pass.
Yep.
Love it.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you to Dean Hack.
Thanks, guys.
Glad you could make it. Thanks for coming in short notice.
Yes.
And we are going to miss you.
Wow, this is how it's going to go.
I know. We'll see you
down under. Short notice.
I love Australia. Any excuse to go. I'd go down there once a month if I could.
You're welcome. Once every 3 months. But
the other two, you're kind of on your own.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
be
call
there.
CJ.
all right. Well, thank you so much. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember...
Han shot first.
Mate.